And today I'm going to preach on digging ditches. Digging ditches. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 10 through 27. Verse 16 will be the key verse. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward, and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the side, other side, as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil." And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites even in their country. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kir-Hareseth left they the stones thereof. Howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even to the king of Edom. But they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. And may the Lord add his blessing on his word this morning. The kings of Israel, Judah, and Edom made an alliance together. They went to the prophet Elisha to inquire of him whether or not the Lord would deliver Moab into their hand. Elisha calls for a musician. Music was a regular part of prophecy. There were schools of the prophets in those days, and in those schools they were taught music and poetry. Singing is a great inspiration to those who preach or those who are used in spiritual gifts. And that's why singing precedes almost all preaching today. And as the musician plays, Elisha gets a word from the Lord, and he says, "Go and make this valley full of ditches." Well, that was important because the armies passing through the desert had no water to drink. And today I would like to share with you just a couple of thoughts on digging ditches. Okay, the first thought is this: digging ditches demonstrates submissive faith. Digging ditches demonstrates submissive faith. The Hebrew soldiers who dug those ditches gave a good example of submissive faith. Think of all the reasons that they could have gave for not digging ditches in the desert. It doesn't seem very logical, does it, to go in the desert area and dig ditches? And yet it demonstrated their faith in the word of the Lord as it came through the prophet Elisha. They might have reasoned this. They might have reasoned it is better to it is better to go forth against our enemies than to waste our time digging these trenches. It would be worth our while to go after the enemy rather than sitting here digging ditches. Do you know that that is what men do and women do? When they get up in the morning and they hurry off to work without taking the time to ask the Lord's blessing on their day. That's what we do when we go into service for the Lord and we go against the enemy, but we don't stop and ask God's blessing upon our work or the labor of our hands or whatever we are going to do during that day. Is it any wonder that life is so dry and that things often seem to go wrong when we do not take the time to pray and to ask God for His blessing upon our lives? Asking for God's blessing upon our lives is like digging ditches. We don't really see the need for that. We need to be out there. We need to be doing something. We've got to get our day started. We've got to get going. And yet if we would just take the time to dig the ditches, we would see God's blessing in our lives and we'll see His hand at work during our day. The Hebrew soldiers did not think that the time that they spent in digging the trenches was lost. They saw it as important time, as valuable time. And I want you to know today that the time that you spend digging ditches, the time that you spend reading your Bible and praying and asking for God's blessing upon your day is not lost time. It's valuable time. And it seems like the more that needs to be done during the day, the harder it is to have that time with the Lord. But that's when it's the most important. And I've discovered that when you give the Lord that first part of the day and you ask for His blessing, the whole day seems to go better and you get much more accomplished that way. So I would encourage you today to dig ditches and don't consider it a waste of time, but dig ditches and demonstrate submissive faith. They might have reasoned it is better to move further on where we shall have water than to spend our labor in this desert place. You know, it'd be better to go on and look for water somewhere else, to keep moving. Maybe we can find a pool of water further on ahead. Maybe that would be more worth our while than to dig this ditch in what we already know to be a desert place. Well, some Christians grow weary when they don't see fruit, or they grow weary of waiting. You know that we know that the Bible says we will reap if we faint not, but this is a desert place. This is a dry place. Why should I be digging ditches here? Why should I be digging trenches here? Maybe I should move on. Maybe I should go somewhere else. Maybe further on up the way, there would already be some water, pool of water up there. And yet if every Christian said, I'm going to move on to a better place, the gospel would have made very little progress in the world. They might have reasoned, well, if we are to be saved, we shall be saved. But it is not likely that digging up trenches in the valley will deliver us out of the hand of the Midianites. They might have reasoned that. If God wants to bless me, He'll bless me. If God wants to heal me, He'll heal me. And sometimes, though, God wants us to do something about our plight. He wants us to dig the ditches. See, God works with us. He works with us. He wants us to dig the ditch. He wants us to prepare the way for blessing. He wants us to be prayed for when we need to be prayed for. He wants us to read our Bible. He wants us to pray. He wants us to prepare the groundwork for the blessing. And then He works in cooperation with us. Digging ditches. How faithful are you at digging ditches? It demonstrates submissive faith. You don't know that the blessing is going to be there. You don't know that the blessing is going to come. But out of submission and obedience to the Word of God, you dig the ditch and you wait for the promised blessing. Don't grow weary because the times of refreshing will come. the blessings will come, and we will reap the harvest, and we will grow the fruit, if only we are patient. The second thought about digging ditches is this: the streams that filled the trenches proved to be streams of safety. The streams that filled the trenches proved to be streams of safety. If you want God's blessing to flow up on you in reviving, refreshing streams, you have to prepare the way for it. You have to dig up wells in the desert, and those also become places of safety. There are lots of ways that we can dig ditches, okay? There's a lot of things that we can do to prepare the way for God to bless us. That's digging ditches, preparing the way for God to bless us. One of the ditches that we can dig is to honor the Lord's Day. And you're all doing that by being here today. You're honoring Him on His day. Do you know that when you honor the Lord on His day, He promises to bless you? He says He will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. God will bless you simply for honoring His day. You dug a ditch this morning by coming here. You gave God an opportunity. You gave God a chance to bless you. So I would encourage you, always remember the Lord on His day and dig that ditch faithfully, Sunday after Sunday. Shiloh, hold that one up. Attend Bible study and prayer meetings. God promises also that when we seek Him, we will find Him. Do you know what the greatest blessing is? Jesus Christ Himself, is it not? The blessing of the Lord, it's our greatest asset. Here is another one. Sarah, hold that one up. Be faithful to have personal and family devotions. This is what we were talking about this morning, earlier. Don't get up and rush off to work. Dig a ditch first. I'm sure all of us would like God's blessing upon our day, but we have to prepare the way for Him to do that. We have to dig the ditch. We have to make it possible. See, we do what we can do, and then God will do the rest. God will do the miraculous if it needs to be done. God can miraculously fill the ditch with water in a desert place. But what have we done to prepare the way for Him to be allowed to do that? And the last one is to tithe. To give 10% of your income to the Lord. Do you know that God says that when you tithe, He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? There will not be room enough to receive it. There will be showers of blessing that just fall upon you. I preach tithing because it's scriptural. I don't preach it because the church needs the money or anything like that. I preach it because you need it. It's good for you. And every time you tithe, you're digging another ditch. And God sees you doing that, and He opens the windows of heaven, and He showers, He rains down blessing upon you. There will not be room enough to receive it all. Can I just brag on you for a little bit this morning? I just got a giving statement from the Assemblies of God. World ministry giving from this little church last year was over $13,000. You're digging ditches, and God is blessing. He's going to continue to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we just cannot imagine or fathom. So keep on digging ditches. And even though you might not see the results that you want to see, don't give up. Dig the ditch of honoring the Lord on His day. Dig the ditch of attending Bible study and prayer meetings. Dig the ditch to be faithful to personal and family devotions. And included in that, meditate on God's Word. We forget about that a lot of times. We pray, we read the Bible, but meditate. Think about God's Word. Do you know that if you do that, He promises you that you'll be wiser than all your teachers? There are many blessings that come to those who meditate on God's Word and then dig the ditch of tithing. Thank you. You can be seated. There are other ways, of course, to dig ditches. But these are some of the ways, like digging trenches. You need them, not only for the blessing of God in your life, but you need them for your spiritual life amid the dry influences of the world. You need them for safety. And then you can make channels through which blessings may flow to you and to others. Elisha told the kings to dig ditches in the desert. He prophesied that they would not see wind or rain, and yet the valley would be full of water. He also told them that the Lord would deliver the Moabites into their hand. See, they did what they had to do. They did what they could. They dug the ditches, and then God did the rest. He filled the ditches with water. The Moabites, they came upon that desert scene. And when they looked upon the desert scene, remember, they didn't know that the water was there. And when they looked at it, they saw an optical illusion, or they saw a mirage. You know what a mirage is? Have you ever been driving down the road and you look ahead and the road looks like it's got a puddle of water in it? And you get up there further to where that puddle of water should be, it's gone. There's no water here. And you look up ahead, oh, it's up there further, and you get to that spot and it's gone. It's a mirage. To them, the water looked like blood. And they thought that the kings of Israel and Edom had killed each other, that these armies that had been in alliance had turned against each other and fought against each other and slew each other. And so they got excited, and they went after the spoil. But when they came to the camp of Israel, the men rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled. The Israelites continued until they had smitten the country, beating down the city, stopping the wells, and otherwise destroying everything. The king of Moab took 700 men to break through to the king of Edom, but could not. I just can't imagine this, but he took his oldest son, the heir to the throne, and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. You can imagine there was great hatred and wrath against Israel. Now, the manner in which the defeat of the Moabites was brought about is very remarkable. It was caused because they thought they saw something that was not really there. They thought they saw pools of blood. In reality, they were just pools of water. They had saw and they had believed a false illusion, a mirage. Do you know, I find that defeat in our lives is many times caused by the same thing. We see something, but it's just an illusion. How many have been snared by the illusion of riches, wealth? Many things in our life snare us. They're illusions. We think that we need these things. We think that we can't live without them. And it's all a mirage. Believing false illusions. Their forces, all that they were able to put on, and armor and upward, were mustered on the mountains opposite Israel, ready for battle the next day. But as the morning sun arose, its red beams falling on the pools of water in the valley gave the water the appearance of blood. They interpreted it this way, their own way. They said, "This is blood," and concluded that the attacking forces had a falling out and destroyed each other. We might have a little fun with this morning, but I do want to demonstrate some truths with this. I have some illusions here that I'd like to put up on the overhead. This first one might be a little difficult with the light shining behind it, but I want you to look at it. How many of you see little gray dots in between those black squares? You see those? But if you focus on one for a long time, you focus on just one area, the dot's gone, right? It's disappeared. It's an illusion. We think that we see something that's really not there. We think that we see something that's really not there. That's what happened with the army that day. They thought that they saw a pool of blood, but it was really not there. How about this illusion? How many of you see a vase? How many of you can also see two faces in there? Sometimes things only have the illusion that there is only one way to do things. Or there's only one way to understand things. But there are sometimes other ways that are just as valid and just as good. But we only see the one way. Let's see, what else do we have here for you today? How about this one? Is that particular arch taller or wider? How many of you think it's taller than it is wide? They are actually the same size. It is as wide as it is tall. Sometimes we can be fooled by things, and we need to be careful. That's why we need to study God's Word. And you know what? Also, there are things in the Bible that I used to think were more important than other things, certain other things. And I've learned that as I studied those other things, I realized that they were just as important. Just as important as what I thought the most important things were. Now this one, I want you to just read this quietly. You can read it out loud, but quietly to yourself. Okay? How many of you think that says, "I love Paris in the springtime"? Look at it again. It says, "I love Paris in the springtime." Oh, that's silly. We should know that, right? Do you know that every word of God is important? Every word, every jot, every tittle in God's word is important. And if we miss a word, we might miss something very valuable in His word. And one word can change the whole meaning of something. And so we need to be very careful. This one, I want you to read it through out loud like you did this one. Only once, and I want you to count the number of F's as you read it. Some of you have seen this one. Finished files are the results of years of scientific study combined with the experience of years. Anybody read it through once? How many of you found three F's? Could I see your hand? You're average. How many found four? Five? Anybody find six? You're exceptional. There are actually six F's. The ones that you probably missed is the F in the word of. Right. Illusions. Things are not always what they seem to be. When I read that one, Paris in the springtime, I would have wagered, if I was a waging man, almost anything on that's what it said. But I was wrong. There are many people today that are wrong. They think that they're going to heaven, for example. They're taking the wrong way to get there. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. You have to put your trust, you have to put your faith in Him, and there is no other way. Jesus said there is no other way to heaven but through Him. No amount of good works will get you there. Only faith and trust in His sacrificial death upon the cross and receiving Him as your Savior, changing your death for His, will allow you to have eternal life. Things are not always what they seem. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's a way which seems right, but it's an illusion. If you follow that illusion, if you follow that way, you will wind up in death. In fact, the Bible says that twice, because in Proverbs 16:25, it repeats it. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." If God said that twice, we better take heed. He knows that many people will follow the wrong way. They'll be disillusioned and take the wrong way, which will land them in death. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 22, "Nay, much more those members of the body which seemeth to be more feeble are necessary." You know that every single one of you is important. Every person in the body of Christ is just as important as another person. It's just an illusion to think that some people are more important than others. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. James chapter 1 and verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We can have the illusion. Somebody seems to be a religious person, a religious man, and yet they've deceived their own heart and their religion is vain. We were disillusioned by them. In fact, we should never make our own private interpretations of Scripture. It will lead to defeat. 2 Peter 1:20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That keeps us, it protects us, it's a safeguard from being disillusioned by believing a lie, a falsehood. Now, God often snares men through their own illusions. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Haman. Haman thought he was a big shot. He thought he was somebody very important. In fact, he was. He was the king's right-hand man. One night, Haman had decided that he wanted to put all the Jews to death. And there was one guy in particular that just got under his skin. His name was Mordecai. And whenever anybody went, when Haman went by people, they would bow. But this Mordecai would not bow. So Haman had it in for him. And he was devising a way to have him put to death. In fact, he wanted to wipe out all the Jews. Well, he comes to work one day. He didn't know that the king had had a dream the night before. And through his dream, he realized that there was a man that had not been rewarded for saving his life, the man Mordecai. And so Haman comes in the next morning to see the king. And the king says, Haman, I want to ask your advice about an important matter. What would you do to, if you were me, if you were the king, what would you do to honor somebody? To really show them honor? Well, Haman, with his oversized head, thought that the king was talking about him. So he thought, what would I like the king to do for me? He said, tell you what, king, I think you should dress this man up in the finest of robes. Let him wear your crown. Have him ride in a chariot and have a messenger ride before the chariot, or go before the chariot and say, this is what the king does to those he wants to honor. King says, that's a great idea, Haman. Go get Mordecai. And I want you to be the herald. I want you to run before the chariot and say, this is what the king does to those he wants to bless and reward. And so he had to do that. See, he was disillusioned by his own importance. Well, the queen, Queen Esther, just happened to be a Jew. And she had heard of the plot to kill her people. And so she made a banquet. And she called the king and she called Haman to this banquet. Now, the ladies knew back then even that the way to a man's heart was through his stomach. And so she has this banquet, and the king says, what is it that you want, my queen? Just tell me what it is, and I will give it to you. And she just builds up his curiosity. She salts the oats. She said, king, I want to have another banquet, and I want you and Haman to come back to this other banquet. And the king is so excited as he attends that next banquet. He can hardly eat. In fact, he can't eat. He says, tell me what you want, my queen. And she says, I want my life and the life of my people. And she told them that there was an edict. First of all, the king says, well, who has done this? And she points the finger at Haman and said, he's behind this. The king is furious. And he sends Haman out from his presence for a while. You know, he's trying to regain his composure here. And Haman falls down and is begging Queen Esther to spare his life. And just about that time, the king comes back into the room and sees Haman with his queen and gets the wrong idea. To make a long story short, Haman is hung on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. See, he had a false illusion of his own importance. He had a false illusion, and God used that illusion to bring defeat in his life and to snare him. He was snared by his own illusion, by his own importance. God says that there will be some who like to be disillusioned. They want to believe lies and falsehoods. So God says, if you want to do that, I'll send strong delusion so that you will believe a lie. Let me share with you in closing this morning some common delusions even Christians find themselves believing. And if we are not careful, we can be destroyed by our own illusions. First of all, one common delusion is all you need is self-confidence. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33, Peter answered and said unto Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And yet we know that Peter was offended and that Peter denied Jesus, denied that he even knew him 3 times. See, we are to put no confidence in the flesh. You don't think that, you know, I can overcome sin. I'm just strong enough by my own willpower to overcome it. Don't put any confidence whatsoever in the flesh, because the Bible says if any man thinks he stands, he should take heed lest he fall. We need to rely upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ every single day of our lives. Another illusion that people make is that there is plenty of time. There is plenty of time. Unsaved people do this. Even Christians do this. Acts 24, 25 tells us, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, this is Paul. He's doing this before Felix. It says, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And there might even be somebody here today, you're not a Christian, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart because you're young, you think you have plenty of time. And sometimes it even scares you to think that you might die without receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you think about the judgment that you will have and stand before God, but yet on the other side you think there's time. And when my life is more convenient, I will receive Jesus Christ. I'll call for him. Another disillusionment, illusion that people falsely make is that you can presume upon the future. James 4, 13 through 14 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And the last illusion, you don't have to count the cost. You don't have to count the cost. Luke 14, 28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? I know this point firsthand. After I had graduated from Bible college, I was looking for a place of ministry, and in the meantime, I was working as a security guard, and there was a hotel that had been built. The only problem was they ran out of money before they were able to finish it. For some reason or another, they couldn't borrow any more money. And here was this luxurious hotel that stood vacant, stood empty. And they were paying me, a security guard, to sit there and to walk 8 floors once every hour. What a waste. What a waste of money, what a waste of resources, what a waste of space, what a waste of everything. We have to count the cost. Jesus is calling us to discipleship, but he says, before you answer the call, count the cost. Count the cost. You see, if we are disillusioned about things, we don't count the cost. And the cry of Moab that day, as they saw the illusionment in the desert and believed to be a pool of blood, they said, "Moab to the spoil." Casting aside all precautions, the people flew down to find themselves in the power of the enemies. I wonder today how many defeats in life are sustained by the same causes. We eagerly snatch at first appearances. We hurry to the bargain without taking due precautions or counting the cost. The devil is offering all kinds of bargains out here. He's luring us with all kinds of false advertisings. He's disillusioning people with how evil and how deadly sin is. And how many people hurry to the sin and throw caution to the wind. And they never count the cost of taking that road. What will it cost them? Do you know that Satan only wants one thing from you? One thing. The final price of sin is death. That's the final price tag, death. Let me tell you today that Jesus offers eternal life. Hallelujah. There's no illusionment. He's straightforward. He's telling the truth. He offers you eternal life. On the other hand, the way of the enemy, the way of the devil, brings death. It's your choice today. I just pray that you're not disillusioned by Satan, but you will follow the one who makes all things true, Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? There's really two points to this message this morning. The first is you need to dig ditches. In order to have the blessing of God in your life, you need to do certain things. You need to dig ditches. In order to have eternal life, you need to dig a ditch. Simply, you just need to say, "Jesus Christ, would you forgive me of my sins? Come into my heart. Change me. Have your way with me." Dig a ditch. Dig a ditch. Maybe you're here today and you've dug some ditches in the past, but you've grown tired. You've grown weary. I want to encourage you today, keep on digging. The rain will come, the blessing will fall. Keep on digging. The other part of the message today is the fact that we can be disillusioned. We can believe false illusions. We can be deceived. Please don't be deceived today. Please don't be deceived into thinking that all you need is self-confidence, that there's plenty of time, that you can presume upon the future, or you don't have to count the cost. I'm going to ask this first of all. Is there anybody here who has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? You've not chosen that way today. Please make that your choice. Jesus said, "Whoever's not for me is against me." You have to choose for him. You have to dig that ditch. You have to choose for him. Is there anybody here just by a raised hand, you would say, "Pastor, pray for me. I want eternal life. I don't want death. I want the way of Jesus." Anybody here? Anybody here? Then Christians, how's it going digging ditches? How's it going? Maybe you need to pick up the shovel again. Start back where you left off. Dig another ditch. Is there anybody here that say, "Pastor, would you pray for me that God would give me the strength and the grace to go on digging ditches. I've given up on some. But because of the message today, I'm picking up my shovel. Pray for me as I dig ditches. Anybody? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Thank you for your hands today. Lord, be with those that raise their hand. Give them the grace. Give them the strength to dig ditches. Give them patience, Lord, as they wait upon you. They wait for the blessing. Lord, we know it will come. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And then, Lord, I pray that the blessing would be so great that you would just literally open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, showers of blessing. Lord, that there would not be room enough to receive, so that in turn they could be a channel of blessing to others. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn in your songbooks, please, to page number 506. 506. Channels only. When we receive the blessing of God, we don't want to just keep it for ourselves. We want to channel that blessing on to others.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love lay hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
The hour's gotten quite long. Let's just sing the fourth verse, the last verse.
Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit, hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day.
Jerry Brogdon, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Dear Jesus, thank you for this time we had together. We ask you, Lord, to help us to learn to live for you, O Lord. Help us to walk in your ways, Lord. Help us to know that in our weakness is your strength. Lord, we thank you for that truth. We thank you that you are truth, that we can know truth. And now bless us all this week to be with you. Precious name.